Well, good morning, everyone. I hope you got some of the beneficial rain this past week. Some of you got some of the beneficial tore your trees down. I was over helping my son-in-law cut trees yesterday, as he had one split right in two. We live in the country in Briar Oaks, just south of Burleson, and we didn't have any trees come down, but our place is full of branches. But I'm praising God because of the water. We got 2.5 inches. I hope you got close to that. We really needed that. So God brought the wind and the rain, so, and so it was an interesting evening. It's good to see everyone. Glad to have you here this morning. I do want to make this commercial announcement about our 13th anniversary service is coming up at the end of the month, and we have our special guest speaker is going to be Pastor Paul Brownback. Him and his wife, Perry Ann, she spoke here earlier in the year. They are the pastors of Abbey Church in Azle. They are a part of Rochelle and I's overseers, and he's going to be here for our special speaker. Here's what's really cool about this particular anniversary. It'll be our 3-year anniversary in this building as we celebrate the first 10 years that we were portable in the Cinemark that we don't have to do anymore. So we're excited about our 13th anniversary, and also celebrating. Paul was telling me, he said, I'm glad I'm not having to do that in the theater, and I said, we are too. So it's good to know that he's excited as we are, as he'll be speaking for us on the last Sunday of this month. I have something that I promised last Sunday that I was going to share prior to my sermon. I shared something last Sunday prior to the part one. If you did not hear that, you have not seen the service, listen to the service, I'm going to strongly recommend that you go hear what I said at the beginning of the service, because it was critical. You could say it's vital. It was history-making in a way if you received it for your families. And so I'm going to encourage you to go listen to that. Today I'm going to address something before my sermon concerning, there's not a lot of people doing it. All the pastors and people that I listen to in ministries, they haven't talked about this in several years, but there are a few starting to talk about the tribulation again, and they're talking about the rapture. And the reality is that if you don't know this, that there's 3 schools of thought now about the rapture. There is the pre, the mid, and the post. And just so you'll know that some of the people, if I mentioned their names, some people that were very, very pre-rapture are now preaching mid. So, you know, it's all over the place. So I'm going to share with you 4 very powerful words about it all. When I went into ministry 37 years ago, I told Rochelle, prior to the first time I did, I said, I'm going to say this. I said, I don't know how well it's going to go over, but it's truth. And I'm going to share those 4 powerful words with you this morning, and then I'm going to also make a statement that I have penned. It'll be on the screen, and I'm going to ask you to hear it, not just read it, but listen and hear what I'm going to say, because it's very, very important. And if you want to take a picture of it, that's another reason I penned it, so that it can be on the screen. But here's the 4 very powerful words that you need to hear. Doesn't matter what school of belief that you have concerning the rapture. Let me tell you this, these 4 words. You better be ready. You better be ready. Bottom line, you better be ready. Someone asked me one time, why is everybody in seasons get real interested about all that stuff? And I said, well, for a lot of people, they're trying to figure out how long they can keep doing what they're doing before they have to get it together. Bad way of living. You better be ready at all times. You better be ready. So let me share with you, and Kathy, you can put it on the screen now. Plan your life like Jesus is not coming back in your lifetime. However, live your life like he will return today. I'm going to say that again. Live your life like he will return today. Let that sink, like he'll return today. He ain't coming back today. How do you know? You have some insight nobody else has? We need to think about that. Live before people in a godly, moral way, sharing your Jesus stories. Look for his return, yet be more focused on sharing the good news gospel to someone every day. Remember, God is in control. Remember, only he knows when Jesus is coming back. Our focus should be on the work of the kingdom, not on who's right or wrong on the tribulation timetable. We are to occupy till he comes. Do not be distracted by the when and how. Be focused on the lost and broken. Church, we have a lot to do. And there are some things that are way more important. It's about living that godly, moral life before a world that is looking for something other than what they have. And arguing over the tribulation is not going to be beneficial. But sharing your Jesus stories will change a life. And then they can learn all the other stuff later. Okay? And I'm going to touch on this more right after the first of the year. Matter of fact, you better be ready is the sermon title of my series at the beginning of the year. Oh, I know exactly where Pastor's going. No, you don't. You will be surprised. But that's at the first of the year. I'm not going to do a full review of last week's message as I've laid a strong foundation for the series that I'm doing, a series that is expanded, and I will be off and on bringing this series to us from now until probably the end of next summer. There'll be other things in between, but this will be a continuing series that will come and go for the next probably year, maybe even a year and a half. So anytime that you hear the title, Who is God?, you want to be sure and be here because you're going to get the next piece of this series that's so important. In late June, God spoke to me through the Holy Spirit while I was in my prayer chair. And he told me very clearly, he said, my people don't know me. They know me in some ways. They know about me, but they don't know me, Corey. When he, and like I said last week, when he speaks my name, he's got my attention. Doesn't happen all the time. He went on to say that I need my people to know who I am. And you know what to do. And as I shared last week, I do know what to do. It is time for us in this season that we bear down and begin to learn the names of the name. There's a name of names, and if we're going to fully know him, then we need to know his names. It's very vital that we know the names and we know what they mean. Very important, especially in your prayer time, that you know these things. And even in moments where you run into things and you don't know what to do, I'm going to read again what Billy Graham said. He said, most of us know about God, but that is quite different from knowing God. We need to know God. That's what's important. And I have a pin truth, and for our guests, before you put it up, Kathy, for our guests, a pin truth is a revelation that I have received while pastoring over these past 37 years, or it's a truth that I've learned, or it's a lesson that I have learned over these years. And so there'll be several pin truths today, and the first one is this: we must never allow God's names to be emptied of their true meanings, never to be discarded as unimportant. I actually have had people tell me those things are not important. It's not important I know the names of God. Oh, yes, it is. It's very important that you know the names of God and you know what they mean. It's very important that you do so. Now, I'm going to read from my Bible this morning from Psalms 83:18, and I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, with me as I read our opening passage of Scripture. Now, chapter 83 is a very intense chapter of prayer. You ought to go read it sometimes. You know, make you feel better about some of the prayers you've made, and you go, oop, I wonder if I just went too far. You ought to read this stuff. You know, like, God, you know, take them out, you know, kind of stuff. But we're not going to read all that. I'm going to read the last verse, and I'm going to inject something in this verse as he's coming to the end of this time of petitioning God, and he says, then, verse 18, then they will learn that you alone are called the Lord, and that you alone are El Elyon, the Most High, supreme over all the earth. Right here, right this moment, we have to make a decision. Do we believe that he is El Elyon, the Most High, supreme over all the earth? Yes. Because if we don't believe that, there's a disconnect in your prayer time. You're praying for God to do things, but you don't believe He's in control of everything. He's El Elyon. Today, we need to have ears to hear what the Spirit of the living God is saying to us. Father, I come to you and I just pray right now in Jesus' name. We put aside our opinions. We put aside the thoughts of the day after church. We put aside being distracted by our phones and we make a decision to learn about El Elyon today. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. His name is El Elyon. There is one name, His name, God, just one name cannot fully hold all that He is. We must know the names of names because it's vital in us understanding God fully. Pin truth again this morning. God's names contain tremendous power and we need to use them. As I shared last week, a revelation about David and Goliath, when David picked up the five smooth stones. I'm not going to cover that again. You need to go hear that. When he picked up the five smooth stones, he was talking about the Lord of hosts. His entire trust was in the Lord of hosts, and that's why he picked up five smooth stones. Well, what did you say last week? You've got to go listen to it. But he fully trusted in the Lord of hosts. We need to know the names of God. We need to know the names of God. I was at one, Shell and I were at one of our overseer's churches this Wednesday, and he wanted me to be a part of the prayer season that they were having in the service. And because of what he said, he wanted me to pray over. I mean, it was just amazing. I know what I'm going to preach on. And in that moment, El Elyon was exactly what I needed to be praying. And that's what I prayed. And as I opened my eyes, I saw people just looking at me like, "Who's that?" And I had to explain, that's your God. He is the Lord of hosts, supreme over all the earth. He is the Most High. He is El Elyon. Let me break it down even more. The El means deity or power. Okay? Then you got Elyon, which means the Most High God. Here's the best way to say that. He has all the power. Do we believe that? Again, if we don't, we got a disconnect in our prayer time. We're just praying, wanting God to do things. It's like just throwing it against the wall and hoping it sticks. Do we believe that He really is El Elyon? It identifies that He is the sovereign, supreme ruler in the highest position. That's what it identifies. And I'm going to have three drill points this morning. We're going to drill down. And my first point is this. We must believe that God is El Elyon. Now, Pastor Rochelle and Pastor Tiffany, Pastor Rachel and Pastor Colin, over the last 2 months, preached off and on. And they told their stories. And in their stories, you could see the Most High God, supreme over the earth. And as they brought their messages to an end, all I could think about was that they are declaring that El Elyon is supreme God over their lives. No matter what they go through, no matter what they've been through, He will be God, supreme. In all of their circumstances and situations, He is El Elyon. We must believe that He is El Elyon. It's more powerful. His name is more powerful than any human ruler. His name is more powerful than any human ruler. Okay? Now, we don't like some of the stuff He's allowing, but let's remember, His ways are way beyond ours. And if He could unfold something and you could see what was really going on, you'd be going, "Oh, okay. I'll just step out of the way and let you do your thing." There's a purpose for this. Understand, nothing gets past Him. nothing gets past him. He is supreme ruler over all human rulers. Proverbs 21:1 tells us, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Do you believe that? It is important when you come to your prayer room that you believe that. We may not like everything that's going on. We may not like what he's allowing to go on. We may not even like what he's doing. Our flesh gets in the way, but it doesn't change one thing, and that is, he is El Elyon, supreme. He is the Lord, the Most High God. Psalms 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, others in horses, but we depend on the Lord our God. And I'm going to make a statement here. Don't shut me down. He is supreme over every human authority who speaks words in your life. He is the authority over every human who is speaking things to you that you have put in a place that you hold in a place of high esteem. That could be a lot of people, a lot of different professions, but you must realize that their words pale in comparison to the words of my Father God, the Most High. What he says is supreme, not what they say is supreme. When you get a bad report, I'm going to believe the word of the Lord, not that word. He is supreme over all words. I'm going to say it again. He's supreme. Do you believe his word? Do you believe his promises? He is El Elyon, the Most High God, supreme over all the earth. Pastor, you've been harping a lot about negativity. Yeah, I'm going to continue. We need to shut down the negativity, shut down the negative words out of our own mouths, and we need to shut down the negativity coming to us when God has told us something different. He is El Elyon. Well, do I just ignore it? No. Here's what you do. The moment you get the report, you go, okay, but El Elyon. Okay? And I'm going to touch a sensitive subject. I've had some issues in the years where different things happened. Really, you know, things. Jerry was part of one of my deals where I broke 3 bones, shattered my ankle all at one time. And I went, by the time we got from where we were at to the doctor, and I went in, he goes, I don't understand. He said, it's already almost healed up. I said, El Elyon. And he just looked at me and he goes, God is supreme over everything, even your body. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? That was free, wasn't even in the for today. You know what it comes down to? It comes down to trust, period. What seems impossible is possible with El Elyon. Whatever is impossible is possible with El Elyon. Because he is supreme over everything. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, you've heard this a lot. We're going to hear it again. Trust and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him. And he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. What is the key? Trust in El Elyon. the supreme ruler over everything. Put your whole trust, being into that. And it says, there's a promise, removing obstacles that block your way. Very important. What obstacles are in front of you right now? The question you have to ask yourself is, who is you trusting? You trusting in your ability, your wisdom, your knowledge, all the years? I could do that just like anybody else. I've been in ministry over 37 years now. Was in the business and corporate stuff before that. You know, I could rely on a lot of things. But I'm going to tell you what, the wisest thing I can do is rely on El Elyon. That's what I need to rely on. Pastor Rick Warren said this, the more you believe and trust God, the more limitless your possibilities become for your family, your career, for your life. I'm going to read just, we're going to pick up a story here in just a moment where Abraham has gone out and had a great victory against the enemy. And he's going to meet Melchizedek, and we're going to read something very, very important about El Elyon in what he says to Abraham. So let's read that, beginning in verse 12 of chapter 6. I'm sorry, in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. Getting ahead of myself here. Verse 18, and Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and a priest of the who? Most High God, El Elyon, brought Abram some bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. Who is he giving the praise and acknowledgement to? God. Not what he's doing. What I just brought you is because of him. He's acknowledging that the bread and the wine that he's bringing is coming because of who? God. Verse 20, and blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you. Whoa. I can just see Abram coming back. He's just like we are. We're awesome. With 318 warriors, we wiped. Can you imagine coming back and then all of a sudden Melchizedek goes, oh, hey, Abram, that great victory you had ain't because of you. You're going to take a back seat to El Elyon. That happened because of him, not because of you. You obeyed and went, but he gave you the victory over your enemies. That gets us back to who should we be giving the praise to every time something happens? Him, not people. This victory is because of El Elyon. Point two, you must believe that all power in heaven and earth are subject to El Elyon. Why do you keep saying you must? Because you must. You must believe. You must stick your faith there. Especially when you're praying. Again, we don't want to pray prayers that we're just throwing up against the wall or hope they make it through the ceiling. Let's put our trust in the Most High God who can change anything. Because he's in control of everything. He's in control. Even evil powers are subject to El Elyon. Even people are subject to him. Even people, there's a whole bunch of people don't think they are, but they are. They think they're getting away with a lot of stuff right now. Oh, but that will change. History has proven throughout Scripture, there's nothing new under the sun. There are things going on right now. I can go back in Scripture and find almost exactly the same thing that was going on. Nothing's new under the sun, and it will come to its end. Because who's in control? God's in control. God's in control. Let's be reminded what Ephesians 6:12 tells us. When it comes to people, God's in control, even over people. I've said this before, we've got to quit looking at the people. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. Contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. And who's over all of that? El Elyon. Mark 5, we find where Jesus is going to talk to this demoniac, this man that is full of demons. And Jesus is going to encounter him, and we're going to pick up the story of the conversation between Jesus and this man. Verse 9, chapter 5. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Verse 11, now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." The enemy is subject to El Elyon. They had to get permission. Is that power or what? That's all power. How much do we truly believe that our God is all-powerful? That He is truly the supreme ruler of all the earth and over everything? I know our minds want to say, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. But we got to stop the yeah, buts and just say, you know, no. I don't care what I'm seeing. I'm going to believe what the Word says, and I'm going to believe for a difference in what I'm seeing. I'm going to expect the turnaround. And some of my friends used to say when we first got saved, we used to say, okay, we're just going to believe for the flip-flop. We're going to see this thing flip over. And we're going to see God move in a very special way. Do we believe? Pen truth. Engage the names of God, and next time you pray, things will change. Because here's the truth in that. The next time you go into prayer and you're going to use El Elyon, I've already made it real clear, you better believe He is. And if you do, get ready. Well, it didn't change the next day. Patience. Took a long time for that to get to where it is. God's working behind the scenes and you don't realize it. It will change. It will change. Point three, an impossible need is available to you right now. You just got to choose to decide what you're going to believe. You're going to believe all the reports, or you're going to believe El Elyon is more powerful than the reports. And we've had our share of reports, so I'm not standing here ignorant of those type of reports, but I'm standing here knowing that El Elyon has authority over it all. He is supreme over everything. He is supreme over heaven and earth and everything. And I do mean everything belongs to Him. I'm going to go back to Melchizedek's moment with Abraham and remind all of us again one more time. It wasn't the 318 trained warriors that won the battle. It was El Elyon that won that battle. But Abraham took the step. We need to take the step and believe He is the Most High God. We have to take that step because victory is possible. Victory is possible in every situation. I don't care what it looks like. It's possible with Him. The impossible becomes the possible with El Elyon. Psalms 97:9 says, "For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods." Need to start posting some of these scriptures around until you believe it. Because we can get into a habit as Christians of believing the bad report versus the report of the Lord. And we put more stock in that than we do God's word. But then we want God to move. We need to trust Him and put our faith in His word. Penn Truth, remember this truth forever. When El Elyon decides to move, no power can stand against him. Well, you don't know that person like I do. Well, you don't know my El Elyon either. I promise you, that's nothing to him. Just have faith. Psalms 97:9, same verse. I'm going to read from two more translations. "For you, O Lord, are supreme over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods." And boy, do we have a bunch of them. We need to get them addressed. We're not into the football gods season, so. And yes, I had to come in and this morning and submit quietly before the vertigos. Yes, Oregon beat Texas Tech last night. So it's our MO at Tech. We get ahead and then we let you win. So Psalm 97:9 from the Good News Bible, my first Bible I ever had. "Lord Almighty, you are ruler of all the earth. You are much greater than all the gods." Do we believe that? It's important. Let me make my final statement this morning, and I've penned it also for you to hear and to see. There is a name for every situation. To know His names is to know God's character and capacity. With that, we will find rest and realize peace and power in His covenant care of us. We must tap into all of His character and attributes His names brings to us. When we identify and use His different names, we are not using monikers to address Him. We are tapping into the full power of His character, reputation, attributes, power, and presence. The question becomes, are you going to trust El Elyon, the Most High God, supreme over all the earth, supreme over all human rulers, supreme over all human words, supreme over all gods? He is the Most High. And the question becomes, are we going to believe that? I want you to think for just a moment. It won't take you long. And I'm going to ask you to do something. Say, well, I don't stand up for anything. You better stand up this morning. You say, Pastor, that's pretty bold to say that. I'm saying it because sometimes we got to take a step of faith. Well, do you stand up every time? I said, man, when I'm sticking my faith out there, if they told me to come to the front and kneel or bend over, how hungry are you for change? Come on. How hungry are you for change? Because I know what God spoke to me. And He said, for those who will stand, they're going to watch me move. Why are you going to stand? Because you know you're breaking through and saying, I'm going to see that differently. My standing is my standing for what I'm believing. Are you with me? It's my standing for what I'm believing. And sometimes you need that to remind the enemy when he comes tomorrow, the next day, and says, oh, that's not going to happen. No, you don't understand. I stood up Sunday. Dude, you're in trouble. You don't understand. My standing meant something. Anybody with me? Does it make sense? You understanding? We got to. Jesus had people do stuff. Did he not? Some of it was pretty strange. Standing's not strange. But he had them do what? Put some action to some faith. Right? Think about what is that thing that seems impossible that's been on your mind? With El Elyon, it's no longer impossible. So why don't you stand up and take your stand that impossible thing just became possible. And let's believe God. Because you know what? He's believable in everything. You know, Rochelle and I have been together a long time. We're high school sweethearts. Four kids, eight grandkids. I got two son-in-laws and a daughter-in-law. You know, life has its challenges, correct? But guess what? My God is amazing. Because he's El Elyon. We're standing this morning for something that seems a little impossible. No, it seems big impossible right now. But we know El Elyon. He's the Most High God, supreme over everything. Father, as we stand this morning, we declare you are El Elyon to my impossible. You are the Most High God, supreme over all the earth, supreme over every human being, supreme over every human word, supreme over anything the enemy has tried to set as a reality and a truth that can never change. That's a lie, because El Elyon is supreme over everything, and my impossible just became possible. And I receive it in Jesus' name. And Father, I'm not going to just read the word, pray the word. I'm going to see it. I'm going to live it. I now see that changed and different. And I am excited to see how you unfold it and how you bring it into being exactly the way you see that it needs to be done, not the way I see that it needs to be done. We receive, Father, our possible today. We can use the word, I receive my miracle. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.